Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is 9:20. Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch alongside Carol Daniel. After unprecedented protests in China over COVID lockdown policies, some Chinese cities are easing virus controls. At the same time, police continue blocking off protest sites and patrolling for demonstrators.
In studio with us this morning is Zhao Ma, Associate Professor of Modern Chinese History and Culture and Head of the Chinese Section at Washington University, St. Louis, to talk about the significance of these protests in China, the significance in China and to everyone else around the world. And there is a human component of this as well. Your parents are there. Welcome to KMOX.
Well, thank you for having me.
So your parents are there, and you just told me off the air that you're checking in with them every day. How are they?
They are doing okay. That's how much I can say. You know, my parents live in Beijing, and also, of course, my other relatives, they all live in China. So it has kind of become our daily routine to check on their well-being every day and to maintain contact through WeChat messages. But that's kind of frustrating.
We understand that protests on this scale are very rare in China. What does this level of unrest there tell us about what's going on?
Well, you know, you are right. It is kind of extraordinary to see this new round of protests in China, not just in one city, but in many different places. And I think the three things really drive people to go to the street. And one is the grief. And because this whole protest is sparked by an apartment fire in Urumqi, you know, the provincial capital city. And so at least 10 people died during the fire, and according to the official tally. And so, you know, people, there's a loss of life, of course. So people feel kind of really sad. But really what anger people is the way government to handle, you know, this entire incident, especially in the press conference held by the provincial government. Because basically in this press conference, the government officials kind of, put the blame on the victims. You know, they say, hey, these are the people who have no this knowledge or skills to protect themselves. You know, you can think about this. It's very much like if you are the victim of a mass shooting, and then so all of a sudden people blame that you didn't take a defense lessons, right? So that's kind of how people feel about this government response to this terrible loss of life. And then it's the fear. You know, by fear, what I'm saying is people just don't know what could happen. You know, and because China has been going through this or doing this COVID, zero COVID policy for 3 years, and with the recent surge of cases, and some cities, you know, they have this on and off lockdown all the time, you know, for quite some time. And you really don't know for people, they don't know where they sleep tonight and when their city, their neighborhood, their apartment will go into lockdown and how you can prepare. You know, so these are the three, you know, grief, anger, fear. These all drive people to the street.
And a part of the fear and even anger, I would imagine, is that people who are protesting, some are being arrested. There are checkpoints. I saw video of an individual being asked for their phone so that I guess their text messages could be looked at. We can't even imagine that in the United States. What could happen to those who are arrested who've been involved in the protests?
Again, it's still kind of an evolving situation. So we really don't know what sort of the measures the government will take against these protesters. But so far, I think the the new thing for these round of protests is, and I mean, China is a big country. So normally you will have thousands of protests in different places on all kinds of issues. Right. But this time, well, in the past, those protests tend to be on local issues. Right. And also these are can be localized protests, you know, just maybe one city or even just one factory. But this time, what we are seeing is people are protesting on some kind of a national policy, you know, because the COVID zero COVID policy is not a local policy, it's a national guideline. And also, the government is not able to kind of localize these kind of problems, right? Because again, you have a national policy. And so this sort of beyond local, right? Not able to localize the problems. And so this really is a new phenomenon in China today.
What's been interesting to watch from our perspective and how the media is handled here in the United States is that while the world is watching this, state media there really isn't saying a whole lot about it. Obviously, these groups of protesters have been able to communicate in some way, you know, but there are a lot of control on media and information in China. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of the media control, of course, you know, China perhaps is the most heavily censored, has the most heavily censored media space, you know, in the world. And so, you know, the government really have an enormous amount of power and to have all this very invasive measures and to monitor the social media. And so, you know, and they can really censor these kind of dissident voices or different voices pretty ineffectively and efficiently. But at the same time, you know, the challenge is, you know, yes, we still have a pretty big social media ecosystem in China. And so you still have 1.4 billion population using social media every single day. And just, you know, no matter how much you can do, right, to censor those voices, and, you know, people can find a way to get around. And so you still can find people post or repost videos, right? I mean, those videos can be removed immediately. But as long as they can, you know, pop on the cyberspace for 1 second, you still have people can see it. Right. And or the people can circulate those videos, right, in different digital platforms. So I think on the one hand, yes, you have a digital surveillance state, right, very powerful. But on the other hand, you have a kind of vibrant social media society. So how this digital surveillance state, you know, clash with the vibrant social media ecosystem, that is very interesting to keep an eye on.
We know that some of your students, they're all supposed to be listening. So we want to say hello to your students who are mm-hmm. listening, Professor. What are they saying? What is of interest to them about this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, speaking of my students, I do have American students, you know, from America, and also Chinese students. They're international students. And what I can see from my students is, especially for Chinese students, and many of them, they really worry, you know. On the one hand, they still have their family members, their parents living in China. And number two, for many students, Chinese students, they haven't been able to go back to China for years because of this travel restrictions, because of all the hassles you have to deal with if you want to do international travel these days. And so, you know, and also, I mean, the concern is we see the protest, you know, in different parts of the cities, even in North America. And so here is we already see some kind of protest flyers on campus. And so I guess that's the thing, you know, for the university to make sure that the students, their freedom of speech will be protected by the university policies and rules. And then also we want to provide the adequate support for our international students to make sure that they feel safe and they feel, you know, comfortable in living in a foreign country on a, you know, a university campus.
Well, I need a quick answer to this, but I've got to slip this question in. For those of us here, why should what's happening in China matter to us in St. Louis?
I think at two different levels. You know, one level is going back to what I just mentioned to the students' well-being, you know, because they are here. We have hundreds of Chinese students in different degree programs at Washington University, and we do have more students in other institutions in, you know, St. Louis or in Missouri, right? And altogether, we have almost 300,000 Chinese students in the United States. So, you know, they are part of our local community, and so that's why we should take care of them. So that's one thing. The other one is just think about, you know, on the money side, right? And I don't know how many people realize how close, you know, state of Missouri and with China and these two markets. So we need to remember that China is the number two import market for the state of Missouri. And China is the number three export market for Missouri. So given the huge amount of dollars going between two markets, so we really need to think about you know, how to make sure the supply chain is resilient, right? And then what could happen if you're not able to access the Chinese market, right? And so the investment. So these are things it's you know, we need to kind of, you know, I'm not trying to be panic, right? But at least you need to kind of keep it in mind when you think about the next step of your business.
I'll risk a little trouble here with my producer and my news director, but you're going to be lecturing on the Tiananmen Square demonstration from 1989. It's amazing it's been that long. Mm-hmm. Are these similar to what's happening right now?
I mean, yes and no. You know, it's the similar thing. A similar aspect is, of course, you know, you see a massive discontent in China, which is, you know, happened precisely 30 plus years ago in Tiananmen Square. And also you see the kind of, I mean, the former Chinese president, Jiang Zemin, passed away 2 days ago or 1 day ago. And so, you know, if we remember, the 1989 demonstration was triggered, you know, in part by the death of a Chinese leader. So, so these are the similar things. But then there are different things. For example, you know, here, when we talk about the current protest, I mean, yes, the incident that got a lot of Western media coverage is one man shouting Xi Jinping step down, you know, in Shanghai protest. But I have to tell, you know, the listeners, and this is just one out of millions or even billions of voices. Right. And so we will see for many people these days, today, when they go to the street, you know, to protest, and not necessarily always this big political goal, you know, and so they protest for all kinds of things. You know, they protest for their livelihood. You know, they protest for the excessive measures of the lockdown, or in a sense is they agree with some kind of a public health, you know, policies. But they want to make sure that you don't overinterpret the central guidelines. Okay, and also they protest on little scandals. You know, so these are different things. So far, it's leaderless, right? And so we don't know how this will go for the next weeks or month. So that's something we really have to keep an eye on.
Professor, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your insight. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.